countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire.
Edition number 2, episode number 2 of the podcast known as Countdown 2. I'm sure if anyone listened to this, they probably listened to it for the first time, so let's quickly tell you what Countdown 2 is all about. We're counting down to certain events of the year, and at the moment we're counting down to Christmas. Decided to do things slightly differently. Hopefully no one heard the last one, it was a bit of a disaster. So I decided to give it a try and do this in inverted commas live mode. So everything is happening live as I talk. Things are happening, and hopefully no editing and cutting and pasting at a later stage. Let's give it a go and see how it sounds. Those of you who are listening, shame. Those of you who heard the last one, I apologize. I feel sorry for you, but if you were listening, you would have heard it. The reason why I managed to get this whole thing off the ground and had the time to do it was because I was sort of strapped and unable to move. Well, the reason why we're doing this one is because I'm still waiting for I've run out of painkillers. And I'm sort of waiting for the over-the-counter ones to kick into gear. So while I wait for that to happen, I thought I would put up another one. And it looks like it's a good idea because it is 5 days ago that the last one came out. So, you know, when you do it every 5 days, and I suppose we get to the 25th, we can count down to the end of the year. So that's me at the moment. So I'm stuck here waiting for the painkillers to kick in. Maybe if they do, I'll start talking even more weirdly than I am at the moment. So today in history, let's say we would look at, as we're counting down to these events, we look to see what's happening on the day, and a lot of rubbish happened on the 5th of December, which is when this is going out. I like this one. I like Walt Disney. He was born in 1901. Two guys at the totally opposite end of the spectrum. Little Richard was born, as well as Jose Carreras. And then hopefully some people know, Patricia Cass, one of my favorite pop singers. She was born 1966, and momentous occasion in 1974. Let's turn this down a bit. There we go. That's what happens, I suppose, when it's... This is all happening live. In 1974, Monty Python's final episode aired on BBC. Yeah, what a bunch of guys those guys were. So what I promised you was to be bringing you some fantastic music that you can find on, amongst other places, the PodSafe Music Network. I wanted to actually hold this one back, but couldn't wait. I thought this was a... I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say anymore. You just listen to this and just tell you if this is not the most amazing version of this song you've ever heard. Give us a listen to. This is Joel Parr.
Keegan.
I think the only thing way to describe that is kick-ass. One day when I grow up, when I'm a big boy, I'd like to take an old song like that and totally change it the way Joel Parr has changed that. Check it out. A new album comes out early next year. Joel Parr.
Are you a podcaster looking for some great pod-safe music to play? Are you a musician looking for a way to get more exposure for your music? Or maybe you are just tired of the same old stuff on the radio and want to listen to some truly original music. Well, head on over to www.podsafeaudio.com and get your groove on with diverse musical selections that range from jazz to metal to classical to experimental. All of this music is released under the Creative Commons license, so it is entirely PodSafe. You podcasters out there need reasonably licensed music for DJing, mashups, intros, and background music. And the hordes of talented artists on the web need a popular outlet for their music. PodSafe Audio hopes to bring these two powerful and creative communities together and offer the world a vision of the future. We also do our own PodSafe Audio podcasts with artists from the site, promoting their favorite music. So check us out at www.podsafeaudio.com.
Apologies, PodSafe Audio, if that didn't come out quite as well as it should have. I suppose that's what happens when you do what I'm trying to do and doing live. Not doing a particularly good job of it, but I think it actually working out a lot better than the previous one did. At least you know what mistakes you're making and quickly correct them, as opposed to finding out afterwards and then spending hours cutting and pasting. One of the things that I started last week was to find out some interesting Christmas facts. Seemed all coming down to Christmas, and have a look, see if there's something that I might have learnt that I didn't know as I'm trawling through the various Christmas sites on the internet. And one thing I did find, which is quite interesting, is there's always this sort of movement that is trying to cut down on the use of Xmas, the X before instead of the Christ in Christmas. I stand corrected, but I found out that the X actually is, and I think this is right, the X is actually the first letter in the word Christ. In Greek is, I presume you say chi, which is C-H-I, which is identical to our X. And Xmas was originally an ecclesiastical abbreviation that was used in tables and charts. And in the early days of printing, when font sizes were limited and a type was set by hand, abbreviations and ditto marks were used quite liberally. One day when I grow up, maybe I can say these words too. And Xmas actually came into general use from the church. It was quite interesting. Something I must admit I didn't know. So before I get to a story, which is quite a long one, let me give you some options that you have to send me some feedback. Turn this music down a bit. Which, guys, I really do need. So if you can, give me some feedback as to what you like, what you don't like. I'm also looking for sort of ideas for the countdowns in the future. I've got a whole lot stuck in the bag. It's nice and easy now. We're counting down to Christmas every 5 days, and then we've got New Year. And then a whole lot more creative countdowns to do. So if you have anything that you would like or you think would be cool to find out about and count down to, send that information through to me at countdown2@gmail.com. Also, what I'm looking for is some user interaction, or listener interaction. Sorry, I'm a developer. Listener interaction. You heard the two countdowns that we had at the beginning. The first one is from an old radio show. The countdown at the beginning, I'd like to give you the opportunity to give your own, make your own countdowns. So if you would like to record your voice counting down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and put onto an MP3, email it through to countdown2@gmail.com, and your countdown will be at the beginning of the show. I think it's quite a cool thing to hear your voice or your creative input right at the beginning of the show. Hopefully we won't get too many, because I think it's important that we don't just have countdowns, but yeah, we'll switch and change them as we get them. Also, you're going to hear a Christmas story, which is a bit of a long one, but if you have any Christmas stories or poems or maybe even just your own quick prose as to what you like, or what Christmas is like where you are. I think maybe next week we'll go through what Christmas is like where I am, which is in the south. There's no snow, and there won't be any snow down south in South Africa, Cape Town, which is summer. So, yeah, I'd say there will be no snow, but perhaps you're listening from somewhere else and you can tell me what happens at Christmas where you are. As we get closer and closer to the big day. What else must I tell you as far as feedbacks before we get to the Christmas is a fun time, so if you have any good Santa or Christmas jokes, send those off to countdowntoit@gmail.com as well. I think it's important that I do tell you that if you didn't get it from there, the link to the show is at countdown2.podomatic, that's PODOMATIC, countdown2.podomatic.com. So if you aren't subscribed to the show, if you didn't get the show via that web link, then please go through to that address. Also, if you don't want to send an email, you can paste your comments on there as well. And very importantly, there's an option there to suggest this to friends. If you dare suggest this to somebody else and you think they might be interested in it, then you can just click on that link and it'll refer to them. Also, as far as the feedback's concerned, I'm new to the podomatic.com site, so if you do have any problems with the way your subscription's coming through or the way the file is downloading, if it's good or bad, just let me know. As I say, it's a new service, and I would like to know how well it's for you. So I think that's pretty much that as far as the business is concerned. Let's move on to... as he clicks away, you can probably hear me clicking here as it tries to make sure that'll work. Okay, so let's look at this. This is Santa is alive and well, and we are on his team. I remember my first Christmas party with Grandma. I was just a kid. I remember tearing across town on my bike to visit her. On the day my big sister dropped the bomb. There is no Santa Claus, she jeered. Even dummies know that. My grandmother, was not the gushy kind, never had been. I fled to her that day because I knew she would be straight with me. I knew that Grandma always told the truth. I knew that the truth always went down a whole lot easier when swallowed with one of Grandma's world-famous cinnamon buns. Grandma was home and the buns were still warm. Between bites, I told her everything. She was ready for me. No Santa Claus, she snorted. Ridiculous. Don't believe it. That rumor has been going around for years, and it makes me plain mad. Now go put on your coat and let's go. Go? Go where? Grandma asked. I haven't even finished my second cinnamon bun. Where? Turned out to be Kirby's General Store. The one store in town had a little bit of just about everything. As we walked through the stores, Grandma handed me $10. It was a bundle in those days. Take this money, she said, and buy something for somebody who needs it. I'll wait for you in the car. Then she turned and walked out of Kirby's. I was only 8 years old. I'd often gone shopping with my mother, but never had I shopped for anything all by myself. The store seemed big and crowded, full of people scrambling to finish their Christmas shopping. For a few moments, I just stood there, confused, clutching the $10 bill, wondering what to buy and who on earth to buy it for. I thought of everybody I knew. My family, my friends, my neighbors, the kids at school, the people who went to my church. I was just about through when suddenly I thought of Bobby Decker. He was a kid with bad breath and messy hair. Hey guys, no. My name's Roy. My hair and breath, I don't know. That's, I suppose, somebody else can give that opinion, but this is Bobby Decker. And he sat right behind me in Mrs. Pollock's second grade class. Bobby Decker didn't have a coat. I knew that because he never went out for recess during the winter. And he's lost his place in the story. No, I didn't learn this off by heart. He didn't go out for recess during the winter. His mother also always wrote a note telling the teacher that he had a cough. But all we kids knew that Bobby Decker didn't have a cough. He didn't have a coat. That's why he couldn't go out. I fingered the $10 bill with growing excitement. I would buy a Bobby Decker coat. I settled on a red corduroy one that had a hood in it. It looked real warm, and he would like that. Is this a Christmas present for somebody? The lady behind the counter asked kindly as I laid my $10 down. Yes, I replied shyly. It's for Bobby. The nice lady smiled at me. I didn't get any change, but she put the coat in a bag and wished me Merry Christmas. That evening, Grandma helped me wrap the coat in Christmas paper and ribbons and write to Bobby from Santa Claus on it. And Grandma said that Santa always insisted on secrecy. Then she drove me over to Bobby Decker's house, explaining as we went that I was now and forever officially one of Santa's helpers. Grandma parked down the street from Bobby's house, and she and I crept noiselessly and hid in the bushes by his front walk. Then Grandma gave me a nudge. "All right, Santa Claus," she whispered. "Get going." I took a deep breath, dashed for his front door, and threw the present down on his step, pounded his doorbell, and flew back in the safety of the bushes and Grandma. Together we waited breathlessly in the darkness for the front door to open. Finally, it did, and there stood me. 40 years haven't dimmed the thrill of those moments spent shivering beside Grandma in Bobby Decker's bushes. That night I realized that those awful rumors about Santa Claus were just what Grandma said they were. Ridiculous. Santa Claus was alive and well, and we are on his team. Yeah, so hopefully I read that with the correct expression in the correct places, and that you enjoyed that little bit of inspiration for the day. So before we wrap up for the day, or for this episode, if you were listening to last week, or last episode, sorry, 5 days ago, episode 1, again, I hope you managed to get the whole way through. I must admit, only if I would have made it through. But at the end, I asked you a question. And I asked you, how many hours does Santa have to deliver his gifts? And you know, due to time zones, Santa actually has 31 hours to deliver his gifts. And I don't quite know where this stat comes from, but in the same breath, it says this means that he would have to visit 832 homes every second. I don't quite know how that figure was got to, but the 31 hours to deliver his gifts, that is correct. So how many hours did he take? He took 31 hours. Pretty interesting. So here's this week's, or this episode. I'll keep on saying week, but 5 days isn't quite a week, is it? 2 days short. So this episode's question, 26th of December was traditionally known as what? We know it as something. We know it as Boxing Day, but traditionally it was called something else. And we will chuck in an addendum there if you know why it's called Boxing Day. If you know why it's called Boxing Day as opposed to what it was traditionally called, chuck it in too. Send your answers to. What are you going to send it to? We're going to send it to countdown2@gmail.com. Otherwise, store it in the back of your head and come back in 5 days' time and I'll give you the answer then. So that's me. We're going to play out with a song that's doing the round. It's Pod Safe for Peace. If every day were Christmas. I've actually got the original, but I decided to give you this one. The original, originally sung and produced by Slough. It's now got all the Pod Safe musicians together, about 97 of them are here, and if it's true or not, all singing in sort of a We Are the World version of If Every Day Were Christmas. Enjoy it. I hope to get some feedback from you. And if you don't hear from me, have a good Christmas. Cheers.
Snow outside my window feels like that time again to me.
The mistletoe, a Christmas show, and the lighting of that famous Christmas tree. Yeah. People are shy. shopping for their loved ones and making plans for a Christmas feast. But it all goes by in the blink of an eye, and then we have to wait another.
Christmas.